The following lecture was delivered at the 18th Annual National Jewish Retreat in Miami, Florida, a project of the Rohr Jewish Learning Institute. We hope you enjoy it. We encourage you to visit jretreat.com for information on upcoming retreats. Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson will now present his lecture, Beyond Gefilte Fish and Chicken Soup, The Inner Meaning of Shabbos.
I want to explore the holiness of Sabbath, the holiness of Shabbat, the power of Shabbat, beyond the gefilte fish and the challenge, which is, of course, the most important thing. But beyond that, that goes without saying, and I won't be able to add much besides telling you how much cholesterol there is this weekend, and you should be seeing your nutritionist Monday afternoon, the first thing, and be scheduling yoga, Pilates, gym, therapy, and whatever else you need. I've already gained a few pounds today. We're working on it. Beyond all of that, I want to explore the inner meaning of Shabbat on two levels. The Talmud says that if the Jewish people will observe two Shabbatot, two Sabbaths, redemption will come. And the Baal HaTanya, the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, and the author of the Tanya, the founder of Chabad, says, why two? And he says it really means one, because in every Shabbat, there are two dimensions. There's what he calls Shabbat Tata'a, Shabbat Ila'ah, the lower level of the Sabbath and the higher level of the Sabbath. First, we'll explore the lower level of the Sabbath and then the higher level of the Sabbath. I have 23 minutes and 46 seconds, so I'm going to try to give the lower level 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then get to the higher level, because it's going to be a little more intense. The lower level of Sabbath we shouldn't take for granted at all. More than the Jewish people kept Shabbos, Shabbos kept the Jewish people. Shabbos is the way the Ashkenazic Jews say Shabbat. Shabbat, Shabbat. So the Shabbos, Shabbat, Sabbath, etc. So a number of years ago, I was visiting Brazil, and I was asked, straight from the airport, I was shepherded to the Safra Jewish Day School, around 1,500, 1,000 or 1,500 Jewish children. Beautiful, beautiful campus for boys and girls. I asked them, what's the topic? Who am I speaking to? You're speaking to the graduating high school year, the seniors, and what's my topic? They're looking for career advice. They want you to give them advice about their future careers. I tell the organizer, you got the wrong guy. You could send me back to New York. No talk, this is the topic. I'm like, Ribbono Shel Olam, God Almighty. I'm standing before, how am I supposed to give them career advice? I don't even know my own career. In fact, when my kids ask me, Tati, what do you do for a living? I don't know what to say, because when I said I speak, my daughter is like, people come to hear you speak. Mommy, they come to hear Tati speak. What do you tell them? What do you tell them? So so I got up, and I was packed room with young kids, beautiful kids, young boys, young men, young women, you know, ambitious, creative, handsome, very good looking. In Brazil, and I'm like, they asked me to talk to you about how to choose your career. And really, I have to be very honest, I have no expertise how to choose your career. I am sure whatever career you choose, you're going to make it, you're going to be successful, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to bless you. But since I'm here already, I'll give you advice, but a different type of advice. Whatever career you're going to choose, and I'm sure it's going to be awesome and great, I want to give you a piece of advice. I said, I'm going to share with you a story. There was once a Jew who moved into a new town, and he was certain that he's going to make it because he was a doctor. So how could you go wrong with being a doctor? There's always a Jew who's not feeling well. So this doctor thought that he will be successful, but lo and behold, he didn't realize there's already 50 Jewish doctors living in the same city. So the poor guy couldn't make ends meet. He goes to meet the rabbi. The rabbi was known as a wise man, and he says, Rabbi, I need an eitz, I need advice, I'm here. No parnusa, nobody's coming to see me. The rabbi says, you have to build a reputation. He says, how do I do that? He says, put in an ad in the newspaper that there's a new doctor in town. And when somebody calls you, don't tell them that you can give them an appointment today. Tell them they have to wait 3 months. And anyone who calls, 3 month wait, and put them all in the same minute. So when they come to the office, they'll meet all these people coming to meet you. And you never socialize with anybody. Somebody meets you in shul and says, Shabbat Shalom, how are you? You look at your watch, you say, I have time? The world is waiting to see me. If somebody asks you a medical question, you never answer. You tell them, what do I look like? A lady gayer? A good for nothing? A couch potato? You know how many people are waiting in the office 3 months? You call and make an appointment. Somebody says in the street, good morning, how are you? Good morning, who has time for good morning? I gotta run to the office. That's how you build a reputation. Man puts in an ad in the newspaper. No calls. He has nothing to do with his life. Finally, after 4 days, somebody calls. Every bone in his body wants to say, come right now, please come now. But he remembers the rabbi's advice. He says, 3 months. The man says, 3 months? Well, you just came to town. You're so busy. He says, hey, you're talking about a world-renowned doctor. A world-renowned doctor. You wait 3 months. Okay. Another person calls, 3 months. Within a few weeks, rumor had it that this is a doctor. Such a doctor didn't exist since, who knows, since Adam and Eve. 3 months you have to wait to get it. And anybody who met him and says, welcome to that. I don't have time for welcomes. I have an office filled with people. Friends, 3 months later, finally the people came. It was a packed office and he was running from office to office, schwitzing, sweating, overwhelmed. Within 6 months, the guy was making a mint. Rumor spread in the town that you have here a doctor, a physician of the highest and greatest magnitude. This person became affluent and wealthy. He was renowned and respected, a celebrity in his own town. Years pass, things are going amazingly well for him. And one day he's walking in the street, and who's coming against him? The rabbi. And the rabbi says to him, Shalom Aleichem, doctor. Good morning, how are you? The rabbi says, you know, my wife is having a terrible migraine headache. And nothing we're doing is helping. I need advice. The doctor, ingrained already in his DNA, looks at the rabbi, looks at his watch. He says, Rabbi, you think I have time to stop here in the street and give you advice about your wife's migraine headache when my office is packed with thousands of people who are waiting for me? Like everybody else, you make an appointment. I am busy. I have no time for this. The rabbi smiles, looks at him, and says, Doc, never forget who made you busy. And when he asks you for a few moments, you could pause and be grateful. I looked at these boys and girls in Brazil and I said, you'll all get great jobs. You'll make a lot of money. And then one day somebody will tell you, you know, the creator of the world wants that 24 hours a week. You should close your shop, close your website, get off your phone, get off your internet, no business, no store, no investments, not even searching and pursuing them. And you're going to look and say, are you crazy? I'm a busy young man. I'm a busy young woman. Life is stressful. I'm overwhelmed. I have a lot to do. And at such a moment, I say to you, whatever career you're choosing, don't forget who made you busy. And when the one who made you busy, the one who gave you a brain, the one who gave you 70 trillion cells, the one who created the 9 biological systems, the one responsible for your digestive system, for your circulatory system, the one responsible for your respiratory system, the one responsible for every breath you inhale and exhale, the one responsible for 100 billion neurons functioning in your brain and your body making 24 million choices every millisecond without you even realizing. That one who made you busy asked you for 24 hours, relax, pause, take a deep breath, and celebrate not the ability to make a living, but the ability to live. Embrace what is, express gratitude, and say thank you to the one who made you busy and spend time with those closest and dearest to you, your own soul, your spouse, your children, your loved ones, family, community, and of course, the creator of the world. That in and of itself has been a revolutionary idea of Judaism back 4,000 years ago. The Greeks and the Romans accused the Jewish people of being lazy. They take off a day every week. Haman told the Persian king Ahasuerus, these Jews are a weird people. Every few days they say, Shabbos Hayom, Pesach Hayom. Today is Pesach, tomorrow is Lag BaOmer, then it's Shavuos, then it's Sukkos, then it's another Shabbos, it's Shabbos again, it's Rosh Hashanah, it's before Shabbos, it's after Shabbos, anything not to work. That's what the Talmud says. Haman told us to Ahasuerus. Talmud says this, Tractate Megillah. What they didn't understand was that the Shabbat is not a day of laziness. It's the day when we pause. There was once a famous pianist. He played in Carnegie Hall. He was world renowned. And his friend says to him, he says, you know, I'm as talented a musician as you. I know how to play piano and read notes just like you. What made you world famous? I play those same notes like you. And he looked at him and he said, it's the pauses. It's the pause that makes all the difference. Those of you who communicate verbally know it's not about the words, it's about the pause. Same is true in sports, and the same is true in every art. It's also true in life. Shabbat is the day that we pause. It's the day when you inhale. We're running. Shabbos, you pause, you inhale. And there's something magical about that deep breath. Those of you who do breath work know what I'm talking about. Neshama comes from the word neshima, breath. Shabbat, you get to breathe, to pause. It's to be able to experience everything that is. We don't try to change the world. That's forbidden on Shabbat. We embrace what is. We learn to live with all the parts of ourselves in unison and synchronization. That's the first level of Shabbat. It's called in Likutei Torah, the Baal HaTor Rebbe calls it Shabbat Tata, the lower level of Sabbath. I was once invited to speak to 3,000 students Friday night and explain to them in 3 minutes what Shabbos is. Now, usually the first joke doesn't take 3 minutes. So how do you do this? So I thought of the following joke. I was preparing for it. I don't think I ended up in that Shabbaton. There was once a fundraiser, the UJA, United Jewish Appeal, great fundraisers. And they wanted this Jew to come to Israel for a 3-day mission, but he was very stingy and he hated Israel. He was a self-hating Jew. Finally, after 25 years, they got this guy, Schwartz, to come to Israel for 3 days. They asked him, do you have any requests? He said, yeah, I want to take my dog. They bought him a golden pet pack. He gets on the flight, lands in Tel Aviv. They go to the luggage. They open up the pet pack. Yit gadal v'yit kadash. The dog is dead. They almost died. 20 years they're trying to get this wealthy, stingy, self-hating Jew to come to Israel. Finally, he made it, and his dog died. They don't know what to do. It's an emergency. You know, fundraising is an emergency. So they take a picture of the dead dog. They put it in all of the Israeli newspapers. They say, if anybody has a dog that's living that looks like this dog, please, it's an IDF emergency. This is called a Jewish emergency. 3 days later, a Jew calls from Be'er Sheva. He has the twin brother of this dog. They tell this guy, Schwartz, who's in the King David Hotel, that there was a delay in the luggage, 3-day delay and everything, but it's coming. It's coming. The other day, a friend of mine, he went to the airport, he went to JFK, and he asked the lady, the person working by the desk, he said, can I send one suitcase to Los Angeles, the other one to London, the third one to Paris? She said, no, it's illegal. You can't do this. He said, last time you did it without me asking. So in any case, that's what they told this guy. Anyway, 3 days later, they get the new dog. They bring it to the King David. They throw out the old dog, the dead one. They put in the new one in the pet pack. Schwartz opens the pet pack. Out comes a lively, vivacious, vibrant, geschmacker dog ready for love and attention. And Mr. Schwartz faints. And they're like, ah, brach. He realizes that we're a bunch of con artists. They revive him and he's stuttering. All they can hear him say is, a miracle. I brought my dog to bury in Israel. Look what a trip to Israel does. It resurrects dogs. Friends, every joke has a moral. The moral of the joke is sometimes you don't have to change things. The dog is dead. Perfect. He brought his dog to bury in Israel. You don't have to get a new dog. You know, 6 days a week, we're busy changing. We're busy changing our husbands. Good luck. Changing our mothers-in-law. Good luck. Changing our fathers-in-law. Good luck. Changing ourselves. Okay, maybe. Shabbat, you accept, you embrace, you know wherever I am is exactly where I need to be. Whatever I have is exactly what I need to have. And my challenges in life are also part of my unique journey to make me the person I'm supposed to become. Can I sit and breathe and inhale and then exhale that reality? And that's why on Shabbos, all creative change is forbidden. I could schlep a couch from here to my room. But to light a match where I'm igniting a fire, I'm changing something, to plant a seed, to cook something where I'm changing something that we don't do on Shabbos. It's not about hard work. It's about creative work that transforms, because Shabbos we embrace rather than transform. We now get to the higher level of Shabbat, that this is a little bit of a deeper journey into the world of the spirit. What does it even mean that God worked for 6 days and then he rested? What type of God needs a vacation? What type of God needs a vacation? If you're God, you probably know how to create the world. 6 days he worked, and then a 7th day he rested. This is what every Hebrew school kid knows. Seventh day he rested, and that's it. And that's where our Hebrew school education ends. It's like, you know, the guy who comes to the Hebrew school to visit his grandfather, his grandson's Hebrew school, you know, he's paying tuition $29,000 a year and change. So he wants to know what David is learning there. So he comes to the Hebrew school. David, how do you like it? Grandpa, I love it. He says, David, tell me who broke the tablets. David says, I didn't do it. David, who broke the tablets? Grandpa, I promised you I didn't do it. He's infuriated. He runs into the classroom. Are you Mr. Cohen, the teacher? Yeah. I asked my son who broke the tablets. He tells me I didn't do it. Teacher looks at him and says, Mr. Goldberg, I understand your pain, but I know your grandson for 6 months. If he said he didn't do it, he didn't do it. He runs into the principal's office, Finkelstein. He says, you're the principal? Yeah, shut your school down. Why? I asked my grandson who broke the tablet. He says, he didn't do it. I asked his teacher, what's going on? He says, if he said he didn't do it, he didn't do it. Embarrassing Hebrew school. Says, Mr. Goldberg, I understand your pain. I understand your grief. On behalf of the board of directors, I want to make a pledge to you. We will recompensate you for the broken tablets. We will pay up the broken tablets. Just give me a receipt of how much and we will pay you. So that's sometimes the level of Jewish education in our generation. They once asked a Jew, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? And he said, I don't know and I don't care. The bottom line is that when you don't know, you don't care. Wisdom breeds inspiration. Wisdom breeds awareness and expansive consciousness. That's the value of a retreat like this, where we can expand our horizons, our wisdom, our awareness. And thus, in Hebrew school, we learn God rests one day and he worked 6 days. What type of rest does God need? And even if God needs rest, is my rest comparable to divine rest? And here is the most beautiful insight of the great Hasidic master, again, the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the author of the Tanya, in his magnum opus known as Likutei Torah. And this is what he says. He says, you know, when we create, we project. I may be playing basketball, I may be doing the laundry, I may be sweeping, I may be programming a computer, whatever work I'm involved in, physical, mental, psychological, my energy is invested in that work. What does rest look like? Rest is when you pause. You sit down and you reclaim your energy. Your energy comes back to you. Work is taking your energy from the inside and projecting it outward in whatever you're doing. I may be peeling a potato. I may be making a delicious salad. I may be taking a run. I'm taking my inner energy and projecting it outwards in my arms, my legs, my brain, the people I'm dealing with, etc. It's like when I'm giving right now a speech, what am I doing? I'm standing here and I'm sharing. I'm sharing words, ideas, feelings with you. It's coming from within to without. That's what all work looks like in one form or another. What does real rest look like? Rest is not laziness. Rest is when you reclaim your energy. Rest is when I finish and I go back to my intimate space and I reclaim my personality. Those of you who are sensitive to energy, you know you can go to events and you pick up a lot of people's energies. And then when you go home, you need therapy for like 3 weeks. You're taking salt baths. You're detoxing. Why? Because a lot of, if you don't understand what I'm saying, you can get out. If you do, you don't have to, you could stay. We have to detox because we're enmeshed with so much energy. Rest is the ability to go back. Who am I? It's to disentangle ourselves. It's to be able to reclaim your own inner intimate space. That's what inhaling looks like. You're bringing back your breath in. So when God creates the world, what is really creation? Creation is really infinity, assuming a physical veneer. Today, science teaches us everything in the world is energy. Einstein already understood that matter and energy, EMC equals 2 square, matter and energy is interchangeable. Everything is alive. The Arizal, Rabbi Isaac Luria, says even a rock is alive. Today, that we could look deeper, we know that there's an entire molecular and atomic universe within every pebble, within every grain of sand, within every flake of snow. Everything is vibrating with energy. And in that atom itself, you have subatomic particles and sub-subatomic particles moving in extraordinary speed and harmony to make sure that the protons, the neutrons, the electrons are synchronizing, and that is the building blocks of all matter. And if that would cease for one moment, all of matter would collapse. The universe would cease to exist. Everything is really divine energy. Everything is the divine word. Everything is the divine breath. But it looks like a physical world. You're you, I am I. Why? The miracle of creation is that infinity, assumes the veneer of finiteness. What then happens on Shabbat? Well, doesn't mean God rests. God reclaims his energy. His energy comes back to him. So what happens then? The finite world goes up into the infinite reality of God. So the whole world is a holier place. The world is a holier place because the very same reality I was looking at before Shabbat, now when I look at it on Shabbat, this very finite physical reality is subsumed within the source. When God relaxes, so to speak, reclaims that energy. So now the entire world, which is all his energy, goes back into the source. And everything appears, everything is what it really is, which is infinite. It's true in a person's life. We each have a soul. What does that soul look like? We say in the morning, the soul you have imbued within me is pure, it's divine. Every person, what are you at your core? At your core, what are you? What do you look like? If we peel away all the layers, if I get rid of all my self-consciousness, if I can get rid of all my trauma, if I can get rid of all my shells and husks, what am I going to find? What are you going to find? Anybody knows? Deeper than anything else, what are we going to find? Deeper than our cravings, our addictions, our insecurities, our fears. If we can get to the core of the self. So the Alter Rebbe teaches at the core of the self is you are a derivative of infinite consciousness. It's not you are connected to God. You are an embodiment. You are the ray of God in this world. We all are. That's why the world of ego is a fake world. The world of ego is a world in which my divinity is enmeshed and entangled in so many blockages and cover-ups. Throughout the week, our work is to get through those blockages and get to the core. Find who you really are. It's a lot of work because very often we know it. We grow up and we learn to develop so many defense mechanisms, so many survival ways of living at the surface. One person develops aggression, fight, flight, freeze, fawn. One person becomes a people's pleaser. All of our anxiety, this is the age of anxiety. What happened suddenly? What happened? That's why the world needs today Shabbos more than ever. What is really anxiety? Anxiety is the dissonance between who I am and who I became. It's the dissonance between what my soul really looks like and what I think I need in life. Anxiety is the alarm clock that's saying something is off. You need synchronization. All week my soul becomes sometimes trapped in all of these selves. I'm getting angry. I'm getting triggered. Your wife tells you something and you get triggered. You get a text, you get an email. We're responding to life from a place of cover-ups, from a place of enmeshment with defenders, with managers, with protectors, as in IFS, that create all of these substitute personalities that are simply eclipsing our true self. What's the gift of Shabbat? The gift of Shabbat is God rests, the soul also rests. The soul says, you know what, I want to reclaim everything. Let's go back into the core of self, into the source of self. And in the source of self, you will always find clarity, bliss, love, compassion, inquisitiveness, confidence, empowerment, and inner serenity and joy. Because, as the psalmist says, in God's space, there's confidence and there's joy. We are always in that space. If you're a derivative of divine consciousness, there's a space inside each and every one of you that has all the clarity of the world. There's a part in each and every one of us that is connected to all the goodness in the world. This is not the part that intellectualizes existence, because God is beyond intellect. This is the part that doesn't need to intellectualize existence. We love intellectualizing because it's a form of control. I want to control things, and I think with my brain I'll control. Shabbos is the courage to let go. I don't need control. I don't need to create because I'm one with the Creator. I'm beyond creation. I'm one with the Creator. The soul is allowed to be reclaimed by the source. And what that means psychologically and emotionally is I can let go of every blockage. I can let go of every voice that has become a substitute for my truest inner self. And I could just celebrate the core of my reality, which is ego-free,
which is self-conscious free, which is anxiety free. Now the Jews sitting here are going to start feeling guilty that you're not going to feel any of this on Shabbos. It's like, Rabbi Weiwei, who are you talking to? What are you taking? What are you talking about? But that's part of it. We welcome all the parts of ourselves. We don't have to be afraid of any part. Shabbos is the gift that anything that comes up, I could look at it with empathy. I could look at it with compassion. And I could say, you know what? Tell me more about yourself. What are you scared of? When you know about your real, authentic core that is liberated, you're not afraid of any part. You could sit in stillness, observing the chaos that's happening of all the children in your sandbox. You could look at them. You can hug them. Because there's a healthy mommy and tati, your core self, that could parent, that could mentor, that can embrace. I wish you all, my dearest friends, this Shabbos, to be able to experience the lower level of Shabbos, the higher level of Shabbos, and with the two Shabbosim to experience redemption. Shabbat Shalom.
Please visit myjli.com to learn more about JLI's multiple educational offerings.